All right. So this is the ins and outs of opening a B&B, and I have some great questions for you. And my first one, Elsie, is how do you say your last name?
Lottie.
Lottie. Okay, I didn't know how to pronounce. Boy, I was totally wrong. I would have been so insulting. I'm so sorry.
I don't think anybody's ever said it right in my entire life. It's fine.
Okay, I get it. I get it. Okay. I understand. So, I couldn't wait to talk with you because I love the whole idea about the haunted house, and we're going to get into that. But my first question is, give me a little bit of your background. How in the world did you get started and wanting to even have an Airbnb? How did you get started with that? What is your history?
So it was not on purpose. I in 2020 during the pandemic, like so many others, I kind of switched how I was doing things. In 2018, I was working two jobs, and then my husband and ourselves, we had too much money, so I bought a rental house for a friend who needed a place to stay. And in the early 2021, she told me that she actually bought her own house. So then I had to decide what to do with that house. It was just a small two bedroom, one bath. But now I only have one job and I can't really afford to pay the whole mortgage with all of the having to worry about people paying their rent and not having to pay their rents and everything going on. I just decided, well, maybe I need to do something different. And so I decided I would sell the house and basically go into boarding houses. So
Okay.
that's what I did. And that's what brings me to this 1878 seven bedroom, two bath house. And so yeah, I bought it to be a long-term rental to rent by the room. I have another house as well I bought a couple weeks before, which is an eight bedroom, five and a half bathroom, also Victorian, because this is these old houses that are really big. And so yeah, that's how I started. The plan was to buy just a long-term rental, but then I didn't know the house was haunted. And so I couldn't get tenants to stay longer than a couple of months. And so I had to decide, okay, well, what am I going to do with this property? And that's when I decided, well, it's one thing to stay in a place for a couple of days in a haunted house, and it's another thing to live, long term in a haunted house. And so that's when I switched to Airbnb.
I love that. So you didn't originally, you weren't going to do an actual B&B. So that was something that you transitioned into. And am I correct that it was after you discovered it was haunted that you transitioned into the B&B idea?
Yeah, I mean, I bought the house in May of 2021 and I didn't open it, the Airbnb until February of 2022 because, yeah, in that time I'd found tenants come, tenants go, and then I had to decorate and, all the stuff that goes into having it and learn more about Airbnbs. I mean, I have like the retirement goal of actually owning an actual B&B at some point in time. But never had I planned on getting into an Airbnb. To be honest, like one of the reasons I do what I do, my boarding houses is I provide affordable care or housing for people who need it. And, Airbnb kind of takes away affordable housing for a lot of people. And so I'm not
Right.
a huge fan of Airbnb as a whole, but nobody wanted to live in this house. So I decided, you know what? I'm just going to go for it.
And as you know, if you've done any zoning or anything currently, you know that the actual approval for a boarding house, a short-term rental, an actual B&B, an Airbnb, they're all in the same zoning pocket. So you could very easily switch from Airbnb over to a full-fledged bed and breakfast if you wanted to. Am I correct?
Well, this house previously had been a halfway house. So it's been a
Okay.
drug rehab facility. It actually was a commercial property until the 90s when one of the owners changed it into residential. So it had a special use already on it. And so I got kind of lucky because now the requirements for special use permits require you have sprinklers. And so I got
Ah.
to avoid that because luckily there was already a special use permit on there for the halfway house. So it's kind of rain. I mean, it's just kind of a big mess, but I got it figured out. It just took a while.
It was a nice mess because it turned out in your favor. I love that.
I love the house and I love having the opportunity that This, you know, I live only about an hour away from it. And I'd never been in this area before, but now I just absolutely love the area. So anytime it's not booked or if I have a weekday off, I'm always going to come up and spend the night and hang out here. And I spend a lot of time like decorating and just doing different projects and constantly changing things. So yeah, I do spend a lot of time in the house. And so it's kind of nice to have like a secondary place sometimes just to get away. Sometimes I bring my family, my mother-in-law specifically. My husband has never spent the night and I don't think he ever will. But
Is it
you
because
know,
it's
sometimes I
haunted?
bring him
Is
some
it
visit.
because it's haunted?
He says he doesn't believe in ghosts, but I think that's why he's never been here. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. So now you're saying that you live about an hour away. Where exactly is the Airbnb located? This, and it's called Bethany's Home Sweet Haunted Home. Am I correct? And
Correct. And
where
we
is
are in
that actually
Jackson,
located?
California, which is an old gold rush town. We are about an hour south east. I'm really bad with trying to think of this math where I'm at. Of Sacramento, and then northeast of San Francisco, about 2 hours. So we're kind of
Okay.
out in the Gold Mountains out here, outside of you know, all the major Northern California towns. But we're in a nice wine area, so there we have a lot going on in the area.
We love that to come out that direction, but I've only been a couple of times. So we're traveling more and more these days as I'm moving into retirement. So maybe we'll actually get to stay. And I do love haunted houses. Now, tell me a little bit about this property. First of all, when you purchased it, you did not know it was haunted. That wasn't going to be your plan. Then you've eventually turned it into the Airbnb once you realized it was haunted. How did you know it was haunted? Well, give us a couple of examples.
Well, I should have known sooner, maybe, but when I did my walkthrough, so I had purchased many houses. I probably used the same home inspector 7 times at least, and my real estate agent used to work for him for 10 years, and he did not want to inspect this house. He did not, did not, did not. And finally, I was like, look, I'm going to buy this house pretty much no matter what. I just want to know what I have to deal with in the future. Because I just felt compelled to buy the house. The second I saw it online, I had to have it. And so when he did the inspection and I showed up, the first thing he asked me is, well, what if it's haunted? And I said, oh, I don't care. Because I'm just thinking like most haunted places, there's like one ghost, maybe you see it every month. Didn't really think anything about it. And actually, my real estate agent also had an experience that day. But it wasn't until the final walkthrough. And we did the final walkthrough. We got into the last bedroom, which is actually the first one, right when we walk in the front door, but we started at the bottom and worked our way back. And I don't know why, I looked at them and I said, there's a girl in the closet. And they just looked at me like I was crazy. And then I had a friend of a friend who knew a paranormal investigator who was going to be in the area doing an investigation at a local haunted hotel, because a lot of Gold Country is haunted. And so she said, hey, do you want to come check out this house? It used to be a brothel. I was told that by the real estate agent. She didn't tell me that it was haunted, but she did tell me it used to be a brothel and a boarding house. And so I was like, so she came in, and the first thing she did was go into that bedroom, come out, and says, I don't like that room. There's a girl in the closet. And I just said,
Oh, so
no
she saw the same
way.
thing you did.
Yeah, and I didn't see it. I just knew it. Like, I can't explain it, but I just
Okay.
knew there was a girl in the closet. I don't see her. I don't see ghosts. I used to when I was a kid, but I haven't since I was a kid or a
Okay.
teenager. And so yeah, I never saw her, but I just knew she was there. And so yeah, so it's the first thing. And then so they came in to do like a paranormal investigation. And we're talking like Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, like so not a spooky, spooky time, but they were being touched and things are being whispered in their ears, they're hearing noises. So they have all sorts of stuff going on. Of course, like it was kind of a big deal then. Now it's such normal activity in the house that, you know, like at the time it was like really crazy, but now it's just like, oh yeah, that's just this is what happens in this house. And so there's certain areas like the unfinished part of the basement, there's a lot of activity there, but we lock that off because it's dangerous. It's not, you know, there's not railings and there's weird steps, and I'm sure there's probably bodies buried down there, but that's where I keep all of my extra stuff. And then One of the rooms, which is actually on the other side of that library wall there, it's a really creepy room too, and I really don't want people in there. So I didn't turn it into a bedroom. It's just I put one of those really hard Victorian couches in there, and a Victrola. And then I've recently started collecting like creepy dolls, and I put them in there. And it's good because people always just shut that bedroom door. They like don't want to see the dolls, and so they'll shut the bedroom door and they don't go in there. So the grumpy ghost who's in that room, she kind of gets her space, but the rest of them are fine. But yeah.
I love it. I love it. A little bit of housekeeping, and I'm going to mention right now. So far, Elsie, you and I are the only two that are on the panel. So, for any reason I would get bumped off, I will immediately come back on, but you'll have to let me in from the waiting room.
Okay.
And I'll just mention that because I normally have a co-host that I don't have this evening, and so it's just me and you tonight.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you. Anyway, so now that you're getting some mileage, I guess, so to speak. My question is, how do you advertise this particular Airbnb? Do you advertise that it's haunted? And if so, do you get some guests that are coming just because it's haunted?
Yes and yes. I made the decision early on that I needed to tell people it was haunted because I don't think it's fair for people like me who are sensitive to not know going into it. But also the ghosts mess with things. They mess with the lights. They sometimes will do things like turn off the gas to the stove. I mean, just they'll move things. And so I don't want people thinking like somebody's coming in and moving their cell phone in the
Okay.
middle of the night, because that would be even scarier to think that it's a real person, right? Or when the motion activated lights are going off nonstop, like I need them to understand this is not like I am a slum lord and the house is falling down. There's electrical issues. There's none of that. Like I used to keep calling electricians in to fix things, and now I know it'll be fine next time I come. The ceiling fan won't work. It'll work next time I come. And so, I really did make the decision early on that I needed to advertise it as haunted and just be very clear about that. On Airbnb, I have one listing for it that like really puts that at the forefront, and one that just like casually mentions that in there, just as an FYI. And I don't really think that I get more listings from one than the other, but I do. Yeah, I have Instagram and Facebook and the TikTok and all that stuff too. But I've had all sorts of paranormal groups come out. I made the Forbes top 24 most haunted places in America list. So I find little ways. I just keep trying to like get my name out. I was supposed to attend my first Paracon this weekend, but it got canceled. So trying to find more business. And Airbnbs are kind of saturated. So having something different, helps. But also, I mean, I know that a lot of people won't stay here because it's haunted, and that's fine. I'd rather them not stay here than stay here and be upset that it's haunted
Right.
when stuff happens. So, but yeah, so I am, kind of looking for those people who, might be interested in that. So
Okay, now when you mention your listings, you have more than one listing. So let me ask you this. Are you renting the house by the room or the entire house, or do you have two separate listings?
I have two separate listings for the same house, but again, it was just so I can test different titles, different words,
Okay.
different settings to kind of see like if there's one thing that works better than the other, with the fees and how they're calculated, and just trying to do different things to see if it makes a difference one way or the other. The house
Okay.
is actually split into two though. When I bought the house, so one of the things I said is like, well, if I close off these two doors, I can make a two-bedroom apartment. So in the basement, there is a two-bedroom apartment that is rented long term. It's less haunted down there than it is up here, so I feel better about renting that out like for a longer term. And so I've managed to keep that rented, which is nice because that mostly pays the mortgage right there. And then the
Okay.
Airbnb, so I don't have to worry if the Airbnb is not booked every weekend. I don't have to worry about that because at least I have my long-term tenant.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about how you tell us a little bit about how you actually do your like channel manager. How do you keep track with two listings? How do you keep track which one is actually getting booked?
So I use Guesty as a channel manager, and I've had a lot of luck with it. So you can do two different accounts with them, and so they're just the same listing but two different accounts. So I have some other properties where I will Airbnb like a room in a house, and I just manage that separately. It's less complicated than this anyways, because those are long-term tenants. I just post up for long-term tenants in between having or 30-day medium-term tenants. So that's how I found that Guesty just works. I've kind of gotten used to it at this point in time, so I don't see me switching.
Yeah, I use CloudBeds. It's very similar to Guesty. It has a lot of the same features. So I'm using a channel manager called CloudBeds, and so I get it. It's so handy that once you use it and it works for you, it's easy, and there's no reason to really keep looking to switch because it does take some time to upload everything into the program.
Well,
And
yeah, I
yeah.
just actually had a booking right before we came on. I'm still trying to figure out from booking.com. Apparently booking.com is only linked to one of these Airbnb mess calendars, and so it's already booked, and I just had a double booking on booking.com. So I've got to figure that out after
Oh
this,
no.
but
Okay, I get it. I hope it's not for tonight. Okay, so you have some time to figure that one out. So tell me a little bit, describe the check-in. How does it, for those that are on the call, we have a lot of newbies that are tuning in and they all want to know how do you handle the check-in process? Because you say you live about an hour away, so you're not running over there meeting them, I wouldn't think. So describe what a check-in looks like for you.
Smart locks are the best thing that have ever been invented. So I usually plan them in about a month in advance. I'll go through and I'll schedule all of my temporary. I usually just use the last 4 digits of people's phone numbers. And then I have auto messages scheduled to go out that morning saying that it is the last 4 digits of your phone number. And so people can just show up when they get here. You know, sometimes people show up early and message me, and a lot of times that's not a problem. But yeah, I handle, although it's an antique house, I have a lot of modern amenities in it, like smart locks. So, and we're lucky because I am right down the block from the police and the fire station. So we're kind of on the grid that never goes out of electricity. So that has not been a problem, although I do have a lock box on property just in case too.
Okay. Now, do you leave anything in the kitchen, like anything for breakfast? Do you leave anything for them in addition, or do you leave coffee? What does that look like for your guests? Because every Airbnb is different. We've been in some that there's not a crumb in the house. And then we've been in some where it's the folks that stay there before, they actually leave the leftovers if there's still some usable life in them. Like they'll leave some of the spices left over and they'll just leave them in the cupboard. And then, of course, there are those that do an entirely new gift basket with, breakfast goodies and all that sort of thing. So, what does your breakfast look like?
I'm just going to change all the pictures. This is my coffee bar. I have
Okay.
lots of coffee. So I am, well, I don't, how do I say it? I'm like, well, I don't leave breakfast, but I do actually have homogenized milk, like the UHT milk in the cabinets. I have cereal. I've got muffin mix. I have a lot of food actually in the cabinets. I'm the person with the basket full of snacks. Part of that is because it's a small town and it closes down early. So like you don't think you can show up at 9 p.m. on a Saturday and you're going to be able to go out and find dinner. You're not going to. And I'm grumpy when I'm hungry. So I don't want other people to show up and be grumpy. So yeah, I always have snacks available for them, but I don't, yeah, have like a full, I don't have eggs, I don't have milk, but yeah, I have more coffee. But I'm one of those people who has like tampons and maxi pads and Pepto-Bismol, spray deodorant, dry shampoo, and everything else you could really need in the house. I have it just because for me, again, this is a house that I spend a lot of time in, and so I want to just show up and bring my clothes and not really have to worry about too much else. I think if more hosts spent more time in their houses, they would probably have more amenities. I'm just saying. I don't
Yes,
drink coffee,
exactly.
but I know it's important to other people. So I have, yeah, coffee and sugar substitute and honey straws, and I have it all. Everything. Like,
All the
so
good
that's
stuff.
something that's pretty, it's mentioned a lot in the reviews, is about how many amenities I have. And it's just such a little thing. I don't really understand why it's worth it to people to give two rolls of toilet paper and tell people that they need to go shopping for more. It doesn't make sense to me from a business standpoint
Right.
to anger somebody over something that simple and that cheap. So I kind of go out of the way and provide all the stuff. And I haven't had any problems with anybody stealing all of the coffee or the tea or any of the stuff that I leave. I've never had that problem. So.
No, I agree with you. I do the same thing. We try to provide everything to make it as comfortable as possible for the guest. When you first got started, you had to, of course, furnish the house. And I'm assuming it didn't come with any furniture when you bought it. So you had to furnish the house. Do you have a go-to place that you like to purchase your furniture? And what about all the linens? Where do you get those? And how often do you infuse new linens into the turn process?
So furniture, I love shopping. I'm a maximalist, if it's not obvious by what you're looking at here, right? And most of my houses, the furniture is kind of thematic and time period appropriate. So
Okay.
you can see that, like, my chairs and my stuff, they're
Yep.
all antiques. So between Facebook Marketplace, a website called Maxsold, there's also a local furniture warehouse or auction house that we have. So I check them out. Goodwill. I love Goodwill. And so I don't buy mattresses. I don't buy anything that can't be cleaned.
Okay.
And so I bought a lot of like old antique bed frames and then attach them to modern or headboards, footboards, attach them to modern to modern bed frames. So that way I could buy modern mattresses. So I, it took a lot of time. So that 6 months, or I guess it was like 4 months, I spent between the tenants moving out and me deciding to make it an Airbnb. It was because it's a slow process when you buy all of these. Like, that fireplace didn't come with the house. I paid it $25 for it at Goodwill.
Okay, I love
And
that.
so, yeah, it was a lot of shopping, but I love it so much. And so I'm really attached to a lot of the stuff. But yeah, it's all like been handpicked out for different things, so yeah, it took me a while. As for linens, most of my linens, I get my sheets just from Amazon, because I
Okay.
buy each bed has two sets of waterproof mattress pads on top of the encasement. And then all the pillows have encasements too. So when I was just there, I was just stripping all of those off and bleaching all of those on top under the sheets. And then the sheets are just as needed, and I change for themes. Like right now, I
Okay.
just had the professional pictures taken yesterday. I'm totally decorated for Halloween currently. And so, with that comes new pillows and new different things. So I kind of switch as needed. I do have at least two, sometimes three sets. I have like a summer comforter, I have a winter comforter, I have, different sets of things, but kind of just like, oh, I'm tired of this. And also, I found this really great sale. Black Friday sales, I tend to stock up on towels from like Kohl's. They have some really nice
Yep.
towels at Kohl's. So I stock up on them and just have so many extra sets, and I have them if I need them. But I feel like I've been pretty lucky that the guests have really treated my house well. I think that I put a lot of love into it, and that also means the people who are staying there tend to be people who also put a lot of love into it. So, I do have some construction workers who come in and obviously must get into the bed with dirty boots, and so I replace a pair of white sheets that week. That's fine. It needs to be done anyways. Although I don't tend to use white anything. So most of my sheets are darker colors or neutral colors. My towels are gray. So I don't have white anywhere. And in a
Okay.
house like this, I don't think it's expected. The house doesn't look like a sterile hotel, so I don't think people expect white sheets. So I don't use them, so I get to keep them long, use them
Right,
longer.
I get it.
Yeah.
Can you can somebody put in the chat, is it me or is it Elsie that's freezing up? Can somebody tell us in the chat?
I think it was you. You slowed down.
Okay, am I okay? Now I'm back.
You're back.
I was afraid. I'm in the car and we're moving, so
Yeah.
I didn't want to get bumped off, but if I do get bumped off, I'll come back on. But Elsie will have to tap me back up as a panelist again. Elsie, tell me who does the cleaning for this house since it's an hour away from you.
Yeah, I found a woman who's local. She's retired and she loves the house as much as I do. So that's really great. She kind of gets offended sometimes when people leave it messy or whatever because she likes the house so much. The house actually, and I think this just has to do with it being haunted more than anything, but it does have a way of drawing people into it. I think that's one of the reasons why it is haunted. People don't want to leave it. And so she literally drives by every single day, and just like peers in on it. Luckily, we're really close to the post office, so she has a reason to. But yeah, so she helps keep an eye on it, and she's really like emotionally attached to the house as well, which is amazing. So.
I love that. That is so cool that somebody loves it as much as you do. So I can really appreciate that. How do you handle your problem guests? Do you have to handle those when they come in? Because you're the one monitoring the bookings and that sort of thing. So if somebody is having an issue, how do you handle that?
Depends on the issues. I'm really lucky to have a haunted house because my ghosts mess with people who annoy me. It's the best thing that has ever happened. So, for example, on Christmas Day this year, I had somebody show up and he showed up 2 hours early and he didn't tell me until he got there that he was there. And I was in the middle of preparing turkey. So I had to stop and like sterilize my hands so I could use the phone so I could change the locks when. Obviously, he knew he was going to be there 2 hours early when he left his house 2 hours before that, but he waited till he got there. So he just kind of annoyed me, but I just, like put on a smile and fixed the locks for him. But that night, his kids were really sick. And so he decided to leave early and he couldn't find his car keys anywhere. And this guy ended up having to pay $600 and have a locksmith come all the way from Sacramento, so an hour away. To create him, get him some new car keys. I offered to come up and help look for him because I knew who did it. And he said no. And so after he left, I came up and they told me right away where they were. I was heading back to the bathrooms all the way at the end of that hallway here, all the way at the back of the house. And there's a bedroom right on the side of that mirror wall, which I sleep in when I'm there. And so again, it was just completely decorated for our Christmas. And on the dresser, there was a snowman stuffy, and then across of its lap was like an Elsa light up wand, and it was turned on. So I went in there to turn it off, and I saw the keys behind the snowman. So like
Oh
they
wow.
told the second I walked in where those keys were, but yeah, they decided like, oh, you're gonna annoy her. We're gonna mess with you too. So it's kind of awesome that I have that. I mean, I've only had a couple problematic people, honestly, like one person who was upset that the house was haunted. I
It's in the
mean,
ad, right? Yeah.
100%. So
Yeah.
like okay, like so he wanted like 50% refund because it was haunted, so they didn't sleep well. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works. And I ended up getting that review removed. But yeah, so for mostly I really haven't had too many problematic. Again, I think the fact that I take care of and love my house, I don't have people coming in and having like crazy and wild parties. Now, do I get people who get loud? Yeah, I do. Do I get people who come up here, especially on Serbian Christmas, and get just so drunk, and they're up until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning having a great time. Yeah, I do. It really sucks for the tenants downstairs, but it happens on occasion. But I, when I'm looking for my tenants downstairs, I'm like very clear about, hey, this is you have to be okay with listening to people running up and down the stairs and back and forth. You're gonna hear it. So like I really have to like manage them, I think, more than I do the Airbnb guests, just
Okay.
because I have to be very particular about who I let in there. They have to be really easygoing. I'm not that easygoing. I would be super annoyed listening to kids running back and forth. It would drive me crazy. So I need to find people who are just like, oh, they're having a good time. It's fine. And I find those people. that are just like, well, they were having a good time. That's good for them. So.
Well, good, 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 good. Tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you or find this home, Bethany's home sweet haunted home, and then we're going to turn it over and see if any of our listeners have any questions for you. But how can they find you or connect with you?
Yeah, so you can connect with us in all the ways. There's the social media. So Bethany's Home Sweet Haunted Home on Instagram, on Facebook, Bethany's HSHH on TikTok. So yeah, you can reach out that way. So we're on all of, VRBR booking, Airbnb. So kind of got my own website. You can contact us and contact me from there. So there's, pretty much any way you can think of to contact us, you're welcome to. So again, we're just outside of Sacramento near San Francisco. And yeah, we'd love for people to come and have a stay, enjoy our wine area and stay for the ghosts, maybe.
I love it, Elsie. We have Amy and Rhonda on, and I want to open it up. And Amy or Rhonda, do you have any questions for Elsie? Just go ahead and type that in the chat, and we'll just hang out for a few minutes and see if there, you have any specific questions that you have that you would like to have answered. Amy says it's an interesting conversation, and thanks for sharing. Sometimes it takes a minute to type that out, so we'll see if they have any questions.
Of
Any
course.
advice for some newbies that are getting business? What would be your best advice that you could put out there for a
I mean, I
brand
feel like
new investor?
I really don't feel like I can give too much advice. I mean, if I were, I tell people all the time, I grew up very poor. And me and my husband both came from like meeting somewhere, me and my brother grew up sharing a room. Like we didn't grow up with money, but I bought a house, and then I used that house to buy another house, and then I used that house to buy another house. And people right now think, oh, the interest rates are so awful. That's what the interest rates were when I bought my first house in 2008, and that house is now worth like $300,000 more in 15 years, so it's like just do what you can to buy that house. But also, we are not spenders, we are savers by nature. I'm actually trying to talk my husband into like retiring and moving to like someplace way cheaper, like Ohio or Pennsylvania.
I'm
Pennsylvania,
in
because I
Ohio,
can only
by
rep you in
the
here. Because,
way. I'm in
I'm going
Ohio,
there
by
now.
the
This at
way.
the end of the week. Yeah, I'm going at the end of the week. I'm actually was going to Indiana, so I'm going to actually Winchester, Indiana, and so that's right on the border. So I'm figuring I'll probably spend some time in Ohio too. I joke, I tell my husband that while I'm there, I'm going to go house hunting because in Indiana and Pennsylvania, you can have a pack a raccoon for a pet. So that's it's decided. Pennsylvania, because I can have a pet a raccoon. But I can own a lot more houses there than in California. But trying to just figure out ways to make that work, and it's different for everyone. And so again, I had two 1 houses. I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to pay those mortgages if my people stopped paying. And so I was like, okay, well, multi-units. Well, multi-units are great, but the boarding house model just really worked out for me. So as long as half of my tenants are paying their rent, the mortgage is paid. And so it's a lot safer bet for me. It's and gives me the opportunity to actually make a lot more money in the long run, because if everybody's paying their rent, then I'm actually making money, as long as we don't have too many too much that we have to fix, which it's been a year for that.
Yeah, Rhonda says that. I'm on my phone, so I got to jump back over. Rhonda says that the haunted house theme year round is very interesting. She said, other than Halloween time, do you have any spike where you have the most interest?
I think last year, I mean, this year, the summertime has just been popular. Again, it's a wine area, so there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this area besides, spooky stuff. As a matter of fact, we don't even have spooky stuff here, even though it's super haunted area. There's no ghost walks or anything like that. I'm always booked solid on Thanksgiving, I think, because of my big kitchen, because I have a very large kitchen. So I think that that helps. So I have that. And then last year in December, I was super slammed too. And that might be the decorations. I think Again, right now the house is completely decorated from top to bottom for Halloween. And then when I take that down on Veterans Day, I go straight to Christmas trees and Christmas everywhere. And so, and it's just a large enough space for people to get together or, hey, my house, I don't want to clean my house. I don't want people coming and judging me and cleaning my house. So all we'll, how do we just all come here? And so, yeah, December was really big for us last year too.
Yeah, you know what? I love all of those great ideas. Yeah. Amy wants to know, do you charge more since the house is haunted, or do you have any kind of ghost tours or anything that you do there at the house? And she wants to know, are your ghosts nice to the guest? Other than the guy, of course, who had to, like, pay to get his keys.
Yeah. Listen, if you're making a mess in the house, or making too much noise or annoy me, they will do things. They will mess with you. But again, it's not like super vicious stuff. But again, it'll be like move your stuff, move your cell phone in the middle of the night, or your glasses will disappear, or stuff like that usually. So it's not like really, really scary stuff. So I have a good relationship with them. As go back to the first questions about ghost tours and stuff like that, I actually haven't really started too much of that yet. We have paranormal investigators who've come in big paranormal groups, and for them, I don't charge any extra. I'm curious. I want more information about my spirits and who they all are. Right now, I know of about 12, but I know there's more. So the more information I get, I love it. So for me, it's worth it to me. And then I'll let them in the basement. Otherwise, I lock it up. But I actually have a basket full of like different paranormal equipment that I leave on the shelf in the library here, for people to use anytime they want. Just, because, you might as well. I kind of feel like the ghosts probably like it. I feel like it's like watching cable television. They get a new channel every week, with new guests coming in. So I feel like they have to enjoy that instead of being the same annoying kids all the time. So yeah, so I think that they enjoy it and I enjoy it. And, because I take care of the house, they appreciate me. So I think we have a good relationship. Like I don't think that they're gonna really be harmful or mean to guests because I won't be okay with that. And so I think that that's also helps too. Because I've talked to previous tenants who own the house before me, and they all said the same things. They all had the same activity that went on, but their activity was actually probably a little bit more severe than mine. And I think it's just a matter of because I show them respect. Like in the basement, I have shelves up, and I have basically like an altar. I buy them gifts. Bottles of booze and cigarettes and jewelry for the women, and there's Bibles and there's all sorts of stuff down there that I buy for them. So I think that they like me. And so yeah, so I think it works out just fine. But I am starting some Ghoul Friends weekends because I recently actually posted the house on Marketplace for rent, like as a item for sale, and I got people sharing and commenting and like crazy, which so I was like, great. Well, here's probably a good way for me to get my name out here. But a lot of times people will tag somebody else, and the other person's like, no way, I'm not doing it. I'm not staying with a haunted house. Fair, but I just think there's a lot of people out, the women especially, who are out there who would love to come here but don't want to do it alone and can't find people to come with them. So I started, yeah, so we have our first ghoul friend weekends, and so with that it's just like a flat fee for the room, so you can fit two people in a room and split it, and we're going to go out to dinner, I'll do tours, we can paranormal investigate, but we have an environment where there's a bunch of us women who are interested in this, who maybe can't get other people to do it with us. And so I've, booked out my first one already. So I just put it up as an idea and immediately pretty much had it booked. So yeah.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Hey, we have one last question from Amy. She wants to know, how do you set up your wine area? She is thinking about setting one up as well.
So I just mean that we are in an area that produces a lot of wine. Everyone thinks of wine in California. They think of Napa. Napa is overrated, not that pretty in my opinion. But we in Amador County, we have a lot of wine. Now I do have wine corks. I do have a gajillion wine glasses. I stopped buying sets because people kept breaking one And so now I just go to Goodwill and I buy random mixtures, and I have like a bunch that say funny things, and I have right now all my Halloween ones because there's a shocking amount of those up. But yeah, so I have all sorts of those, and just, I don't leave wine just because I don't really know who's going to be staying there, and that's something that they will appreciate. So I don't actually leave wine in there, but I also have one of those containers where you can like leave your corks, just because I also was kind of curious to what wineries or what kind of wine people are drinking as far as, for advertising purposes in the future. And I also, in my book, I provide the names of probably 30 of the local wineries, because again, we
Okay.
have a lot. Yeah, so we have a lot, and we have a Amador, wine driver. She'll pick you up in your car and drive you to all the wineries you want to go to. And so I know that that is, I would say, probably 25% of my guests come here because they're in the area doing wine tours. And so, that's something I definitely cater towards just because of that, even though I don't personally like the wine. I'm not a real wine drinker, and it's all red wine. I'm not a red wine drinker, but we're really big up here with our Zens and our Barberas, and I've been to the winery, so I know what it is, so I can tell other people, but I'm not a big wine drinker. But again, I'm not a coffee drinker either, because this is me without coffee. But I know how important it is, so I try to just have all the stuff just in case,
Well, Amy says thanks for the tips, and she likes the idea of the mismatched glasses. That's a great idea. That way you don't have to worry about if something gets broken. Elsie,
Well, and I
thank you
just think
so
that the
much.
more, oh yeah, I just think that the more opportunity for you to like, oh, look at this funny glass, let me take a picture and post it online, the more likely to share, so the more pretty spaces I can make where people want to take selfies and post pictures, then the more free business I'm getting, right? So in any
Absolutely.
way, and that can be in a wine glass.
I love it. Elsie, thank you so much. I appreciate you being on this evening. This has been so much fun. I love learning more about you and about the Bethany's Home Sweet Haunted Home. I love that. I will post not only the link for this video, but you are also going to be on a podcast on Audioboom. I'm going to send off to you all of the links so that you can use them. If there's anything you can use in any of your advertising, feel free to
Yeah,
do that.
happy to share it.
And so, anyone that's listening, if you want to learn more, you can just go to KathyBenner.com and just scroll down the homepage and go to the ins and outs of opening a B&B, a guest house, an Airbnb, a VRBO, and we even talk some months we talk about midterm rentals. So it's all things short term and midterm rentals. And so, please join us again in the future. And thank you so much for being with us, Elsie.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed our conversation.
Yes. And Amy says thanks to both of us. And I will actually get everything posted probably tomorrow morning in the KathyBenner.com website if anybody wants to go there and listen to the replays. But Elsie, I'll send all the links out to you.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to
Thank
everybody next
you.
month.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everyone.